and here we go with another edition of We Talk Wrestling with Addy and Mo. Hey yo, I'm Addy.
Hey yo. What's up, bitches?
Biatch.
I'm Mo.
Are you?
Yeah.
Huh. Well, how's it going, Mo?
Well, I'm pretty excited because we got some big guests on this week.
We do.
Yeah, just like we had last week. Some more big ones this week.
Yes. Yes.
We have some scoops for you guys.
Like my penis and your mom, they keep getting bigger. So.
My mom is getting heavy.
Tonight. This afternoon for me and for us, but just me in this case, 5:30 Mountain Time here in Calgary.
Alberta.
Ring of Honor presented Border Wars.
Canada.
From Canada. From the Ted Reeve Arena in Toronto. Now, I say at 5:30 Calgary time is when they presented it, and I believe about 8:30 Calgary time is when I was able to see it.
So did you see it on delay, or?
Well, I saw, basically what happened was, for those of you unaware, huge server problems. They got off Go Fight Live. They're doing it right off.
Go Fight Live?
No, they got off. They're not on Go Fight Live.
Now, they had some last time, didn't they, on their last
one? On their last one, and they blamed it on Go Fight Live. Now they're at Ring of Honor Wrestling, their own website. They're streaming from their own website.
Well, it may not be it may just be their own fault.
Well, possibly. You know, you know what it is. The owners, Sinclair Broadcasting, their owners' brother's fault, right? Because I kept hearing it because it's Joe Koff, right? So yeah. I just keep hearing it was some jackoff's fault.
Sinclair
in here now. It's Mr. Richfield's fault.
That's right, absolutely.
God, but anyway, that's Border Wars. What happened was. Massive site failure. Yeah. Like at one point, Ring of Honor.
Kind of an overload to make people ordering it?
That's what it was. It was.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good sign.
Well, no, because.
No, you're right. They're not coming back.
Yeah, the people that ordered, I mean, like.
Well, they're getting something free, right?
Well, and we'll get there. But this reminded me very much of DDP and Goldberger in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
Meh. Only to a certain, you know, only. For those of unaware, Halloween Havoc, I believe 1998, featured Goldberg and DDP in the main event. And just as that main event match was starting, the pay-per-view went off the air. This is the ultimate problem.
Not for everybody.
Not for everybody. Yeah.
So they showed it next night free on TV.
There were some people.
And WWE accused them of doing it on purpose so they could show that pay-per-view match on TV the next night and get a big rating, and actually did.
Which
they actually won that night.
They at least won that. Yeah. Anyway. Thing with it here is. Basically, you said the pay-per-view wouldn't start, the whole website was down, a whole bunch of problems. Some people, I was on Twitter because there were a lot of people having similar problems, voicing their displeasure. Ring of Honor, for the first hour and a half, completely silent on this. Like, nothing off their Twitter, nothing off their Facebook. Finally, their Facebook come in and said, we're working on the problems. And then, but yet the problems persisted. And so here we were, I guess, I want to say 8 o'clock. Calgary time is when it all of a sudden I was kind of going to give up, and I thought, you know, and I had my laptop beside me, and I actually watched the WWE Hall of Fame 2012 from the WrestleMania DVD, so I'm watching that, and I keep hitting kind of refresh every once in a while on my laptop to see if the website comes up. Finally, it comes back up in the middle of Roderick Strong against Finlay.
Okay.
So, which was the third from the top match. So I saw Roderick Strong and Finlay about halfway through. Roderick Strong wins. Pretty good match. Nothing, you know.
Yeah, I was going to ask, yeah.
From what I saw, nothing that blew me away, but it was a good, solid match.
No. Something blew me away tonight.
Really?
Your mom.
Mm.
Didn't see that coming, did you?
She did. Next. I don't want to say, I mean, nothing more to say on that Roderick Strong Finlay match.
Yeah, I know.
You know. World's Greatest Tag Team and the Briscoes then next.
Okay.
In an unsanctioned match.
Oh.
So it was basically like a street fight. World's Greatest Tag Team, or Wrestling's Greatest Tag Team, wins the tag titles.
Okay.
really stupid fucking ending.
What happened?
Charlie Haas gets, like, this spray can and sprays a rag with, apparently, ether. I had no idea ether now come in aerosol form. But it was, like, hairspray. But then Kevin Kelly kept going on about how the fumes and da-da-da-da-da.
Well, fumes will make you pass out, I believe, from one of those. But probably not the cotton rag and then...
Yeah.
I don't know if it would or would.
Anyway,
I don't know.
Kevin Kelly...
You test it. You got me. I'll cut card you.
I know. I know. Test. Test. This is a test. Anyway. So anyway, he took the rag, put it on one of the Briscoes. I don't even know which one. And they won. Then he passed out and he pinned him. So it was really stupid. The match itself, all right. This is a brawl.
Who books this shit?
Yeah, I know. Jim Cornette, of course, not there. Because it's pay-per-view in Canada.
Oh, yeah, no, he's, yeah. Had enough of the border. So,
that's right.
It's a real border war right there.
That's just
it. Cornette and, yeah.
Yes.
So
anyway, then we get to Steen and Davey Richards. It's 8:30 now. It's 8:29. I wrote that down because I wanted to see how long this match would go. I forgot to write down when it ended, so I don't know.
Yeah.
But I had good intentions. Anyway.
You were drinking.
That's true. True.
Still are.
Still am. So, Steen, of course, the clear babyface.
Yeah.
Richards, the heel here in Toronto. You were the referee. Just this fat guy with blonde short hair, so I assumed. There was a kid.
But still handsome.
Huh? Referee. There was this kid in the crowd.
Yeah.
He must have been like 10.
Okay.
And all you could hear was this little squeaky voice go, "Fuck you, Richard! Fucking suck! Fuck!" Like, all the, like, throughout the match, like, "Fuck you, Richard!" I was like, what the hell? Whose kid is this? Like, it was just, it was funny, but it was like, holy fuck, right? All at the same, it was funny and sad at the same time, you know?
Toronto.
Oh, here's the go. I did want to point out, the production value, overall, the best I've seen out of Ring of Honor.
Fuck you, Richard!
Oh, God, no, I mean, we'll do the whole thing, but part of this whole deal is that, because I only got the thing, Ring of Honor has said, anybody that purchases gets the replay, kind of forever, and their next pay-per-view, pay-per-view, Final Battle, I want to say it is. No, that's Final Battle's in...
Final Battle's actually literally the Final Battle of the year.
Yeah.
A little break.
So, I don't even know which
best
one
it is.
Best
in the World?
Best in the World. That sounds right, actually. Best in the World.
Okay.
But whatever the next one is for the Hammerstein Ballroom in 42 days, as they kept putting a little thing on their website. I also get that now as well.
And when that one fucks up, you'll get the one after that.
That's exactly. But at least I'm only paying whatever it is,
$15. You know, it's for free forever.
Perpetuity.
Because... ROH tradition to fuck up the paper.
That's right, see?
Yeah.
But anyway.
Sounds like the event went too long, too. Again.
You know, it wasn't bad.
You watched three fucking 2.5 matches.
Well, no, but as I said, starting, it went about 3.5 hours, which is good by their standards.
By their standards.
I mean, you figure.
I still think that's 45 minutes to a half hour is long.
Well, yeah, Greg the Hammer Valentine, you know, got warmed up, you know, extra on this, basically,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But, I mean, I agree, but that for their standards, that's good. Under 4 hours is a win for a Ring of Honor, for fuck's sakes, right? Steve Corino, I was going to say, the production value. Overall, this was actually, the look was the best I've ever seen Ring of Honor.
Okay.
The lighting, the look, just everything, the camera work. The best I've seen from Ring of Honor. And
how
even the setup
how
of the
you
arena.
How compare it to TNA? To make it,
well, it's still less than TNA.
Okay.
But it's better than I've ever seen Ring of Honor. Like, it's still dark, but it's well-lit dark. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? They want to keep that dark, but it's well yeah. The layout of the arena, the Ted Reeve Arena, looked perfect. Like, there looked like there were more people there than there were, I'm guessing.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So that was good. That said, for the main event, Steve Corino come out to do commentary. his mic wasn't working.
And he's probably good at commentary.
So the whole match, they asked him something and he couldn't hear him. And then every once in a while they'd go to him and he figured it out, or he was told, Carino was, because all he started doing was shaking his head and then not doing anything, right? So Nigel and Kevin, I think Nigel maybe figured it out. One of the two of them figured it out before the other one, and the other one kept going. I don't remember which was which. But
so you don't have somebody in their ears screaming to them what to say and telling them that it's not working?
No, no, John Laurinaitis was not there.
Oh.
There was Teddy Long. But a lot of outside brawling. Fuck you, Richards chant. Same old shit chant.
Really?
To Davey Richards. I mean,
really?
Yes. I had no idea why. No idea.
It's because it's one of the chants that's commonly used among these crowds.
Yeah, I know.
You know, to put a guy down, and so they use it regardless of whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
It really fits. And I wouldn't say, well, you know, Richards has excellent matches, but there is a certain, I don't think he has as varied an offense as some of the guys in ROH. Well, I think it's the psychology of how he builds his matches that really stands out.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it wasn't the same old shit when they were chanting it. I don't know why they just needed something to chant, I think. Couple scary spots, or spots that just, like, should never be done. Steam powerbombed.
It's Goldust, an agent there.
It's possible, because Steam powerbombed Richards on, like, the corner of the apron.
Yeah.
Like, there, twice.
Yeah.
And, like, the first time it was like, oh, and then he did it again. It was like, no. No.
No, they do that. That's one of the reasons that's one of the things that turns me off about ROH.
Mm-hmm.
Is I'm sometimes uncomfortable with that, the spot.
It was just like, no, don't do that. And the disgusting spot was that Steen put in Richard's mouthpiece after it fell out. Yeah.
That's just gross.
And that was met with a you sick fuck chant.
Yeah.
I think probably led by that 10-year-old.
You sick fuck!
You sick fuck! But a couple sharpshooter tries. A DR driver by Richards, because
I've heard that chant in your mom's bedroom.
That's right. But this match was the pile driver was legal, which, of course, it's not in ROH. It's banned. And it's just for Steen, so that he could
but
use...
But wait, is it WWE is actually banned, or is it banned for storyline?
Storyline.
Okay.
So in this match, it was allowed.
Ah.
Which meant... And it basically was so that Steen could use his package pile driver finish, right?
Yeah.
There was a DR driver, which is basically almost a vertebraker type move that he used, which Richards hasn't used in years, and it would fall on the banned list normally, but he was able to use it, so that was cool to see. Of course, the F5 by Steen, the F-Sank, as he calls it, used a lot of ankle lock. Basically the finish of the match is the ankle lock is getting reversed and the sharpshooter is getting re-reversed in the ankle lock, and the turnbuckle ends up getting exposed, the middle turnbuckle, and there was a kickoff and Richards hits his head on there, followed by a sleeper suplex, then the package pile driver and Steen wins. So Steen's your new Ring of Honor champion.
Yeah, and I think we saw that coming, and that's good. I mean, I think it's
storyline. Storyline afterwards is that Kerry Silkin, who's handed the belt to every new Ring of Honor champion, gave the belt to the ref to give to Steen, would not give it to Steen.
And then I gave it to Steen.
That's right. Well, then I gave it to your mom. Yeah. Then Steve Corino comes in.
Yeah.
Because they'd broken up the Corino and Steen. They'd had their tension. And they hug at the end, and everything is great with Jimmy Jacobs. Jimmy Jacobs did not really...
Is baby face just in Canada, or baby face everywhere?
Well, I think everywhere.
Okay, so what would you rate the match?
Well, I'd give it a 3.75.
What was it lacking? What was keeping it from being more?
You know, it just... it's the same thing that my mom says about you, length.
That's good.
No, but the match didn't go long enough. And there was, I mean, there was some good spots, there were some near fall things, but it just, I don't know, it just didn't really flow for me. It wasn't a bad match, it was an above average match, but I wouldn't even go out of 5, I wouldn't even go 4. I would say, you know, like, I'm thinking percentage in my head, I'm thinking like 77.5% kind of that, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I know what you mean.
That's why I'm saying 3.75, so.
Okay.
But that was really it, what I saw. I mean, I'm going to watch the replay. Maybe I'll give my thoughts on the rest of it next week when I see that that replay. Unfortunately, just disappointing for, you know, for Ring of Honor. Because there were, I mean, they've made good, and some people were able to get in. And the main event people would have seen. And that's, I mean, when I say I saw the last three, the only matches that I missed that I really wanted to see the Lance Storm match.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
I understand Lance gave a speech afterwards as well. I would like to see that. Or I will, but... I'm trying to think if there's anything else that I really wanted to see. There was another undercard tag team. I think it was the All Knights against Generation Me, whatever they're called. They're Young Bucks. Would have liked to have seen that as well.
Okay. Rhino was there or something like that?
Rhino was, I think, yeah, Rhino. I don't remember who was. I want to say Kyle O'Reilly and Rhino, maybe. I don't even... But anyway, Rhino was there.
The thing is, we haven't really been following the product closely, so it's...
Ciampa and Jay Lethal, I think, matched. Okay. That's all right. But, I mean, yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, we don't have a Sinclair affiliate here up in Calgary, and so we watch it sparingly, which is why I was... You know, all the kind of stars came into alignment for me to be able to watch this tonight.
Yeah.
And I thought, yeah, you know what?
Yeah, you're waiting for me to get off work so we can do the show, and you figured, what the hell, right?
Well, and I thought...
I mean, you only had 4 other pay-per-views you could have
I know. Well, Gabe Sapolsky kept tweeting while ROH was having these problems. Still time to watch Evolve on iPay-Per-View. Here's the link. You know, he kept tweeting that. I thought that was kind of funny. No, I did. I thought that was good. But, yeah, apparently there was a Dragon's Gate and Evolve, a CZW or something as well, and then ROH. It was crazy. But yeah.
Nick Diaz was having a BJJ match, which I've also had with Evolve.
Damn it, I was waiting for you to finish that sentence so I could see that.
I can see it in your eyes when you think of it.
That's what I said to your mom.
I gave some Brazilian jiu-jitsu.
I can see this now. The May 15th, We Talk Wrestling, or whatever, what's today? May 13th, We Talk Wrestling, mom jokes.
And we'll have a few more. We'll get there.
Yeah, that's what I told her. But, no, that's a, you know, we don't watch the product a lot, but that was the thing, is that I thought, you know what, I'd give it a shot, because everything kind of came into alignment, and we, you know, last time we watched last year was the last Ring of Honor iPay-Per-View that we saw. I wanted to watch the one in Final Battle in December, and then just, again, things didn't
work out.
Didn't
work out, yeah, we weren't even doing the show at the time.
Well, no, but I was going to watch it anyway, but it was on a Friday, and I work later on Friday, it just didn't work, but, you know, that's the thing. So, good from what I saw, good pay-per-view, from what I understand from people reading, from people that was able to see the whole thing, because there were a few people that were able to see the whole thing. I had tweeted one guy, I don't remember who it was, I think it was, anyway, but he said... Well, he's watching. I'm like, how did that you get it? He goes, I don't know. I just clicked on it. I said, oh, you're lucky then, because I clicked on it and I get this blue screen saying,
fuck you.
So, but anyway, it's in the books and it was, you know, from what I saw, it was good and we'll see it again. So, let's move on away from Ring of Honor then, unless you have some comments on stuff.
All I want to say on it is, fuck you, Richard!
It was awesome. There was a guy with a Killstein kill. Cake.
Nice.
That it was in the aisleway. Oh, yeah, I was like, fucked. So, if we want to go from ROH, if we're moving up the ranks, I guess, in terms of size of the company, we'd go to TNA. And I'd go to my penis. But
is your penis bigger than TNA?
It is. It's got better production value.
It does.
Yeah.
It does. It's seen by more people.
Yeah. Cross the line. your royal companion.
Okay.
King Mo.
Yeah.
Has signed a Spike TV contract essentially with Bellator and TNA or Impact Wrestling or whatever they're calling themselves. Because when I watched, there was MMA Uncensored, the Spike TV MMA show that comes on actually immediately after Impact, had Bjorn Rebney and Dixie the Cunt Carter and King Mo all on the show simultaneously, all this a three-way from Dixie, but there to talk about the contract. And essentially what it's going to be is, as I said, he's Spike's. Mo belongs to Spike.
Yeah, I'm gonna jump in. Number one, guy's a great name. Great name, King Mo.
King.
But just to throw a little bit of background in for people who are not MMA fans, who this guy is he's a former light heavyweight champion with the Strikeforce organization.
Strikeforce, that's right, yes.
And he was, the Strikeforce was purchased by of course, UFC.
Of course.
And he was going to fight in UFC.
Right.
He's a big pro wrestling fan. He's a guy who comes to the ring with a spectacular pro wrestling type entrance, type of thing. He's a legit amateur wrestling champion in the background. I believe in an All-American or something like that. Perhaps. A good MMA fighter, not a great MMA fighter, who was suspended and fired from UFC and has had some injuries. Pardon me?
Why?
You know what? I don't recall. I think he probably is a drug thing.
It's a steroid thing.
There you go. So he's fine in TNA.
Yes, and so this brings
me. He ought to be the most tested. He was fired from, but then again, he was apparently taking it because of his injuries. He's had a ton of injuries.
Yes.
A ton of injuries. And you know, ask Hulk Hogan, if you have an injury, you need to take steroids.
Well, you do. You do, brother. I forgot, because we were watching the Hall of Fame, so we're watching, you know, JBL and Edge and Ric Flair and, you know, and even the Usos were entertaining, and we're watching that, and so I kind of forgot, because I kept it on my PVR just in case we were going to watch it. We never got to, but this is classic, you know, it was, you know. The host, I don't know who his name is, it doesn't matter what his name is, he was good. Was clearly not, he didn't give a shit about Spike here. Mm-hmm. Like, he was on Spike, but he was being a guy and talking.
Yeah, he was doing the draw.
Saying, you failed for fucking steroids. And you know, Dixie basically said, whatever Mo's story is, I don't even know specifically.
Well, why would she check that out?
No. She knows. She didn't say, who knows? I'm not sure. But whatever his story is or whatever she's heard, she believes him.
Oh really?
King Mo, yes. Shocking. I know, right? Fuck. Weird. Adam Pac-Man Jones, he's fine. Okay.
Oh, man.
But anyway, it's so that's
Kurt Angle really did just now. Oh, at the wheel.
Yes, exactly. Into a snowbank. Snowbank in July.
He at all. I think she believes him.
But in what the fuck was she said? She said that, well, you know, she was the only head of a major wrestling company to go and testify in front of Congress about steroids. That was like her exact quote.
You know, if you had just thought that if she was the only head, we could have been talking about your mom again.
Or Dixie. So the thing about steroids, he is going to be the most tested athlete in sports.
Really? So Bellator tests that often?
Yes, apparently. You know, I have to say something.
You know, they said this about Lance Armstrong. He was the most tested man in sports. And then years later, and he was tested and passing those tests. Well, taking steroids.
Yes, exactly, Chael Sonnen. But it's just one of those things. He's coming there. They were promoting. It's basically a Spike TV vehicle. So, I mean, it would not, you know, they have those Guy's Choice Awards. It would not surprise me that he's the host.
Well, the thing is about him is, like I say, he's a good fighter. He was a light heavyweight champion in Strikeforce. Strikeforce is, you know, a good level of competition.
Yeah.
He was not expected to go in and compete for the world championship in UFC.
No.
But they wanted him because he was a marketable character, because he was a charismatic guy.
But the same reason they hired Barone back, right?
Yeah, exactly. And he's a better fighter than Brody.
Definitely.
So that was kind of the thing about. So TNA is looking at him, Spike TV, Bellator. They're going, we need somebody who can be a crossover star.
Yes.
To get eyes on our product, get eyes on our station.
Mm-hmm.
This guy has the tools. He's very charismatic. So if he's taking steroids or doing whatever, we don't care because.
Well, that said, there's two things. There's two layers of this. We will be testing him so often. But he is suspended currently.
He is suspended, but not from TNA.
For steroids.
You know what? He might be tested in TNA, and if he fails, you know what they'll do?
Nothing.
They'll tell him.
Yeah.
You failed.
Yeah, you failed.
And then they'll move on.
Yeah.
Just like they did when they actually did their test.
See at the pay-per-view.
Yeah. That was like the one test they did 4 years ago? 3 years ago?
Well, when it Benoit off himself 4 years ago, probably.
Yeah. Assholes.
But, anyway, what they're going to do is he's not going to go to Bellator until Bellator gets on Spike anyway, which isn't until 2013. So he's going to look at like February, and he's suspended until then anyway for steroids.
He's training in OVW for TNA.
He's going to Ohio.
And I bet you in about 3 months he'll be brought up for his first match, even though Kurt Angle took him over a year, I believe, or a year. Oh my God!
Holy shit!
We're going to edit that out?
What?
No, too lazy.
Yeah.
No, even Kurt Angle, who is a natural affinity for the business,
wasn't
brought up that quickly.
No, God, no. He was in Memphis for a year.
Yeah.
And the thing is,
Brock Lesnar, 18 months.
What they're going to be doing is trying to teach, they're going to be in Ohio Valley teaching him, and, with Jesse Neal and Jesse Goddard's or whatever the guy's name is. But anyway, they're going to go. They're going to teach him how to work.
He'll get to be as good as Alex Silva.
Yeah, exactly. And the thing is, their other plan is to show when he's going to fight for Bellator, they're going to show training footage of him on TNA to try to make that synergy, which is fine.
Yeah, that's a fine idea.
It's just that, who knows?
Unfortunately, two things. Number one, Bellator is a system where he can't just compete for a title. He needs to win a tournament to get a title match.
He's got to win three matches.
And TNA, on the other hand, can give him the title right away. There's another problem here, though. What happens when you have a guy who is listed, and this was part of the problem with Tito Ortiz when he was on there. What happens when you have a guy who is your 205-pound light heavyweight champion?
Right.
Who comes in and towers over your supposed heavyweights in the division. Like Jeff Jarrett was towered over by the 205-pound UFC champion, Tito Ortiz.
Well, I think it was more AJ Styles that was
AJ
that was
Styles
towered
was another
over.
One.
Well, it was Jarrett against AJ, and Tito was the ref, right?
Both were. So much bigger than him.
But
the same thing with King Mo. He's going to be a lot bigger than a lot of people on the roster.
Yeah.
And that's going to expose him because he actually goes by shoot weight, right, for his...
Yeah, I mean, I don't really think that matters because...
I do think it looks stupid.
Well, it does, but you've seen Bobby Roode's haircut, right? He already looks stupid.
Good point.
So,
Where's haircut, him or Edge?
Edge's haircut will work for him, though. Edge also was retired.
Ah, good point.
So,
Where's haircut, him or Christian?
Okay, yeah, Christian. But,
you gotta just shave it, stick with the beard.
Yeah. But, no, I think...
Comb-overs don't work.
No, they don't. I expect to see King Mo at Sacrifice.
What is that?
Tomorrow. Or today.
Oh, yeah, no, he'll be
sorry,
there.
Sorry, today is...
He'll be there. He'll throw a work punch on fucking Bully Ray,
mm-hmm.
whoever. That's
well, that is the thing. As I say, you got Bully Ray, you've got Kurt Angle
to
work against, you know. So, It's not.
If you're smart, you build up him against Kurt Angle, not even for this year's Bound for Glory.
Yeah.
For the following year's Bound for Glory.
So it's on Impact on Thursday, is what you're saying.
I think so.
Yeah. Book it.
Well, they will.
TNA Sacrifice, coming up here live on pay-per-view.
Tomorrow?
Well, today is most people hear this. Today.
And actually, it is today for us now.
Past midnight now,
11:45.
So it's today. It's in like... Yeah, today, anyway. So, Mother's Day Spectacular. TNA Sacrifice. I guess it's Bobby Roode, RVD in a ladder match?
It is?
Apparently.
No, yeah, Jeff Hardy versus Ken Anderson, Mr.
Right.
Anderson, whatever.
Mm-hmm. I don't know any other matches.
Austin Aries versus
Bully Ray. Yeah. Okay, that's there's a chicks match too, right? Is it Gail Kim and Tess Marker? Is that the match?
Gail Kim and Tess Marker.
Okay.
It's
they have tag. Is it the tag against Motor City Machine Guns?
I don't.
Magnus and Joe.
Motor City Machine Guns. I can't recall.
Motor City.
I've also been drinking. Plus, it's late and I just got off work.
Yes.
Plus, I've been drinking and I plan to continue.
Yes.
Bottoms up, motherfucker.
Plus, I just got off your mom.
Speaking of bottoms up.
Right. we're drinking this new Coors Light iced tea bag. Speaking of your mom.
Yeah, there you go.
But
and speaking of your mom, it tastes good.
speaking of your mom, speaking of you and my mom, it's less filling. Shocker, Diaz, no shows, BJJ back.
He seems so stable.
I do have to say, though, kudos to Mr. Dave Meltzer.
Yes.
When the ROH, Mr. Dave Meltzer, when there was an ROH Border Wars, when they were having the incidents. I'll just read this word for word. It says, okay.
I'm going to read something word for word from Todd Martin's Raw report.
There you go. Okay. So it says, okay, since this ROH thing isn't happening tonight, instead I'm going to do a five-day-old coverage of Monday night's Champion Carnival Finals at Korakuen Hall in Tokyo.
Beautiful.
Yeah, I already know Tai Okeya beats Suwama, and it's a hell of a match, but I've got nothing more up-to-date from Japan to watch, so here we go.
Wonderful.
This is the dedication of Dave Meltzer. I have nothing else to do, so Ring of Honor isn't working out. So here's some Japan stuff.
Yeah,
that's awesome. That's hilarious. Awesome. So,
you're looking up Sacrifice now. Just missing anything?
Yeah. Well, just
speaking of missing anything, we should go to you're tucking it in. Going to TNA shop.
Oh, that's a good place.
Still, my favorite is the shot of them with the guy with the shirts, and it's wrinkled. They took shirts and put them on their website to sell them. They didn't even bother to fucking iron them. Ah, TNA, you seriously suck.
They do.
Speaking of which, now we know Hulk Hogan's plan.
Hulk Hogan,
his game-changing plan. Did you hear about it?
Where people can just fucking tape the superstars, like, wherever they are.
Which they already could have done. And nobody bothers because it's TNA. But they already could do that. I mean, occasionally you would see that, you know, a picture of a high Dave Bautista with his shirt off or something like that walking around Los Angeles.
Would you say it occasionally?
Well, that's, yeah, good point. But yeah, I mean, so now you can actually do that. Hey, folks, if you weren't taking them to tape the TNA superstars with your phone before, now you can do it. We want you to do it. This will create them being on TMZ and other websites, and therefore, because they're getting all this press, they'll become mainstream because their name will get out there in a pop culture way, I suppose, out there through different media. There is a certain logic to it. The problem is, number one, it's TNA, and number two, a lot of the guys are like, A, when I'm off and I'm not being paid, I mean, maybe I should want this because it'll make me more money. I'm making a big start, but I want to have some private time with my family. I don't want my kids on there.
Yeah.
Or the other guys who are sitting there going, I'm cheating on my wife.
Fucking some other girl, yeah.
And I don't want my wife to see it.
Other matches we did not announce. It's actually Joe and Magnus against Daniels and Kazarian.
Okay.
And Kurt Angle against AJ Styles.
Okay.
And Robbie E versus Devon versus Robbie T in a three-way.
What? How did they get Kurt Angle versus AJ Styles?
I don't know.
I mean, how did they build to that? I thought he was out with an injury.
To miss the Olympic trial. I have no idea. I don't know.
But you know what? I have to say, it's not a bad card. It'd probably be pretty goddamn good, actually.
Well, you know, again, but it's one of those things that the crowd could ruin it again, and we'll
possible.
See, right? I mean, so who knows?
I see three or four matches where I go, okay, those will be three. Those have potentially three stars.
Yeah, exactly, right? I mean, yeah, RVD and Rude should be all right.
RVD doesn't have it anymore.
No, I know, that's the thing.
But it's going to be a ladder match, and, you know.
But you've got Styles and, yeah, that's fine.
Styles and AJ.
Kazarian and Daniels against Joe and Magnus should be good, right?
I think that should be
the match of the night, too. I agree.
And I think, yeah, Aries
and unless yeah, that'll be good. Unless the match of the night is D-Von versus Robbie E versus Robbie T.
Or Gail Kim versus Miss Tessmacher.
Yes, Brooke Tessmacher.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Don't be a fuck.
Is that a match who pops the implant first wins?
I think so. It's in the implant zone.
With an implant DDT.
The implant DDT.
Excellent.
Oh, love it. Book it.
Okay. I'm getting a call.
Are you getting a call?
I'm getting a call.
Because we have a... Well,
it's not who you think it is.
Oh.
This is good. You know what? I'm surprised he's up because he's an old man.
Yeah.
But on the other hand... it is, and where he is, it's like 2:30 in the morning here.
Hmm.
But you know he's calling. I'm gonna answer.
Yeah, answer.
It's Rick. How you doing?
Woo! I'm doing fine.
I hope you haven't been drinking.
Woo! Drinking. Woo! I'm drinking like only I can drink. Woo!
Excellent. I just wondering, Rick. I just it's glad that you called because. I saw this week in the newsletter, in the Observer newsletter by a Dave somebody, who, that apparently
Woo!
Your daughter Ashley is thinking about becoming a professional wrestler.
Ashley. I love Ashley. She's my daughter. She's gonna become, woo, a wrestler. She's gonna become the Divas, woo, champion. She's gonna be,
are you crying, Rick? Rick Flair crying?
I'm Ashley.
I think it's a bad idea for her to become a wrestler, Rick. What do you think?
Woo! You don't know. You think you know Ashley? You don't know Ashley.
How about
I'm sorry. This isn't about Ashley. I just spilled my kamikaze.
Wait, Rick. What about
it was
your
so
other son?
So good.
Your. What about Reed? What about your son, Reed?
Woo!
How's he doing? Is he still going to be a wrestler? Did he
Reed!
Clean himself up?
I love Reed. You don't know how much you think you know Reed. You don't know Reed. He's my hero. Ashley's my heroine.
Is he straight now? Has he worked out?
I thought he was. Then he brought home a guy named Sven.
Oh well, I Sven, really. But you're okay.
Woo!
With that. You love Reed's a big.
I'm open. Woo!
And you're okay with Reed and Ashley.
It makes woo a hell of a martini. Woo!
You're okay with Reed and Ashley.
Woo!
Yeah.
Woo!
What about there was somebody else? You have another son, obviously David, who's in the industry, and we saw he wasn't there at the Hall of Fame.
Woo!
But how's David doing?
Fuck David. We gotta let you go, Rick. It's great having woo! It's great having you on. Woo!
You like your other kids?
Woo!
Okay, I'm hanging up.
Oh, that was Ric Flair.
I think Ric Flair might have been drinking when he called us.
Wait,
might have been drunk dialing.
He might have been. He might have been drunk dialing.
Ric fucking Flair. Oh, what else are we gonna talk about?
Always a good.
Always appreciate it when a multi-time world champion gets on there and gives us a call. Friend of the show.
What else are we going to talk about? We can move up the proverbial food chain to WWE and Triple H.
Who?
Triple fucking H.
Hun Tor.
He has two arms.
And they both work.
And they both are able to hold a boxing title over their head.
Yeah. But you know what? It would be embarrassing if he showed up there and they didn't mention who he was.
Well, you know what would be even more embarrassing, actually? It would be embarrassing if he went out with Chael Sonnen to the ring.
Let's actually give a little bit of context. Tell the full story here, what you're talking about.
Triple H is a burying fuck. Oh, you meant a little more exposition than that. Of course, Triple H at the Floyd Money Mayweather fight in Las Vegas a week ago, or 8 days ago, and had, I guess he supposedly had this metal gimmick on. But anyway, the whole thing was he wasn't selling nothing. He was one of the people holding one of Mayweather has like, 8 belts
Justin
or some
Bieber
shit.
Was another one.
Bieber and yeah, and
some
anyway,
other
yeah, that was Hunter. They hold up the belt and nobody mentions who Hunter is. He's sort of just forgot about. But the other thing is that
Chael Sonnen wanted to have CM Punk wanted to come out with Chael Sonnen at the UFC event in Chicago some time ago. And when that was going to happen, they didn't want CM Punk to come out with a competing company and not be mentioned. They were worried it wouldn't be mentioned because it would make it seem like he wasn't a big star.
Right, right.
But he's CM Punk and you're Triple H, so it is the issue here is the double standard, right?
Well,
a big part of it. And the other issue is, of course, the lack of selling injury. But to me, it's not about the lack of selling injury. It's about the fucking excuse they threw out on Raw the next night. It's a complicated injury. Sometimes he has to take it out of his
yes.
He has something. He still move it. Sometimes he needs to take it out of his brace and move it around for full motion in order to keep it from. But yes.
Well, that was just a retard. Yeah, and I mean, but the thing was is, and hopefully they can move past it because I don't think they focused on it enough that they can get out of it. But I think that the big thing with the Punk deal. Is, I mean, I can see the point where, I mean, Triple H is a bigger star than CM Punk.
Yes.
Right? So if they don't mention Triple H, he's still a triple fucking H.
Yeah.
Right? I could see they really want, though, to people to make,
there's
want,
a better chance that they were going to mention CM Punk, though.
There is. Of course there is. But in their mind, if they don't, then does that diminish Punk who we're trying to push, whereas Hunter has already been made? So that's, but no, I'm not agreeing with that, but I can very much see that being the think, the
okay.
thought, right, behind it.
Here's my thinking about the, and I know that's a surprise, thank you for the new beer.
Yeah.
They're out of the iced tea ones, though.
Slow,
we're going to break into an excellent beer.
Slows down.
Canada's own Alexander Keith Indian Pale Ale.
Yes, Canada's own Indian Pale Ale.
There you go. Here's the thing about the injury and that excuse that they gave.
Right.
They should never brought it up.
No. Nope.
Who gives a fuck? If they don't bring it up that night, people have forgotten about it by Tuesday.
Oh, yeah.
They bring it up, and now we're still talking about it.
Well.
It's kind of like that Ryback was never in NXT, or never in Nexus. He was in NXT,
right.
but
yeah.
he was never in Nexus.
Nobody even thinks about it now.
You know, nobody even thinks about it
well,
now.
Well, I do, but no.
But you know what I mean, though. It's
I
it's
know.
That if you can't bring that up, then why would you bring this up?
No.
We're not going to react to multimedia, social media, I mean, over here, and to the newsletters and the internet over here, but we're going to react to this. And they don't know why they're reacting to something, why they aren't. And it just shows to me a lack of focus in the company and understanding.
Well, I think
fan base.
It's not even that. I think the reality of what happened is that people were talking about Hunter. And Hunter knew people were talking about him. So then it became about Hunter. And so Hunter had to address because people were talking about Hunter. If people were talking about, let's just say, Heath Slater, right? That's I know. That's why I use an extreme example. But the Hunter and Vince would never know that, right? So
no, they wouldn't know that he was talking about him. Yeah, right.
Exactly. So they wouldn't address it.
Yeah.
Right? So and they would have done what you just said. But because it was about Hunter, and Hunter knows people are talking about him, now we got to address
unless
it because
Hunter's
unless
he made them talk about him against their will.
Right. What? You mean Heath Slater?
Yeah.
Yeah. Would he do that?
I'm fucking money.
I'm fucking class.
Oh, the one-man cock band. But, yeah, that's what I would say. That's really why I think they addressed it, because it was about Hunter, and Hunter was cognizant of it because it was him.
and he should have just ignored it.
Yes.
You know, they have to be. They're not. They are cognizant of the fact that fans, some fans at least, would recognize, you know, Nexus, would recognize. Then again, a lot of fans didn't seem to recognize Paulie Danger.
Oh, yeah. So let's get to that then. You just mentioned that
let's get to it.
Paul Heyman comes out to no pop at all.
No.
And not until he says, my name is Paul Heyman. Got a little bit of reaction then.
There's a few ECWs.
And a spattering of ECWs.
But you know what? He wasn't looking for it. He wasn't playing to the crowd.
No. But
he didn't come out and act like a big deal. He came out, he strutted right to the ring.
Yes.
He started talking. He didn't pause. He was there to do a job, and the job
was there for Brock, yeah.
Yeah, to get the Lesnar.
This isn't about Heyman,
yeah. That's about it, right?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
But I popped the first time I heard again because I was just waiting for him to say, Brock Lesnar.
The other thing is he didn't come out to his own music. That didn't help recognize him. And he came out to Lesnar's music, and then people are on their feet. They're like, Lesnar's coming.
Here
oh, it's somebody else.
Yeah.
Right? So there's a bunch of factors. Plus, I can't remember what city they were in, but
it was in North or South Carolina. I don't remember.
Yeah, and hardly an ECW stronghold.
Well, that's true. No, and what the fuck is an ECW? I mean, if they were in Philly, maybe, but, well, not definitely in Philly, but still.
Yeah, certain areas, they still would get the reaction, right?
Poughkeepsie.
That's the thing, though, South Carolina. I mean, sure, you had ECW on WWE, but they did kill it. And sure, you had Paul Heyman on TV, but I don't care, Paul Heyman. Paul Heyman could be on WWE TV for 15 straight years. He'll still be most recognizable as the leader of ECW.
Of course.
That's it, right? Just like Hulk Hogan could be on TNA all he wants. He's still going to be in WWE. And he was in WCW.
He's still WWF. Okay, yeah. That's
right?
It. And Heyman, though, I mean, this is smart because Brock's going to go away, and he's got limited dates. So when he's got the limited dates, Heyman can come in and do it, right?
And you're bringing in a guy who is, I mean, that was what got me about this, is he comes in, and it's kind of like what we said about The Rock. He comes in, and he just outshines everybody.
Well,
else.
He may be a top 10 promo guy of all time.
Yeah, that's the thing. He just outshines. And this guy's the guy who cut his teeth being a manager when he was in his early, he was probably like 20 years old when he was first debuting.
Well, he was a photographer.
Yeah, when he was in his teenage
years, yeah.
You know? This guy is kind of like Jim Cornette, where he was really, really young, grew up, got the understanding the inside of the business, and then got on camera. He's an awesome promo, possibly one of the best ever. So, I mean, if you're going to bring in a guy to get over this angle, you could not have picked somebody better. The question is, I think there's a lot of people who go, oh, God, he's going to be here to save the product. He's going to be here to save the company. He's going to do some stuff with creative. He's going to create angles.
Right, no.
That's not what he's there for. I don't think you'll ever see that. I don't think he wants that either.
Well, you don't kid yourself.
Well, okay, no, he wants it if it was the right deal.
If they gave it to him, he would.
If it's the right deal.
Yeah, if it was Paul, we want you and you alone to run it without the Giewertzes and the other friends writers and
yeah,
all that
full
bullshit.
Full control, you can do whatever you want. Blah blah blah.
Yeah,
that's what
of course.
Wanted from TNA. They wouldn't give him.
That's exactly.
You know,
but
yeah, but that's not.
He's not
going to
get
right
it,
now.
and.
Because when he was part of, because how he left, last time he was in WWE,
yes.
He left because essentially he quit after, and a great promo, he quit after the ECW's pay-per-view, December to Dismember.
Right.
And he felt disrespected, and he felt that they really, really fucked up the pay-per-view, and they didn't give it any respect to the company or the brand or what he was trying to do.
It was really before the pay-per-view, and really all they did is...
It was the build-up to it. He knew that he was losing a fighting battle, and there's no point being there.
I think it was... I think the cause and effect there was that he was... He knew the handwriting was on the wall, or it was already done.
Well, he knew he had...
The result was the fact that he didn't give a fuck about and did nothing for December to Dismember and quit.
No, he was trying to... what he said, at least his story was, that he had... Vince McMahon has Raw. People bring ideas to him in Raw. He'll say yes or no. He'll tell them what direction to go in. He won't necessarily fight with him. He'll say yes or no.
Right.
And same thing with SmackDown, where he pays even less attention. With ECW, no matter what it was, he would fight with Heyman. Like, he wanted the fight. He wanted the battle. He wanted that.
Right.
And Heyman's going, but I'm not competing against you anymore. I'm now on your fucking team.
Yes.
And this was where he went, there's no point in this. This is There's nothing constructive about this, and it's obvious he doesn't want to do anything with ECW.
Right.
And it did. December to December did record low numbers.
Well, at the time.
Yeah, at the time. Funny because, you know, I mean, the product debuted on Sci-Fi with really good ratings, but it fucked that up.
Well, decent enough.
It came shortly after another pay-per-view, it didn't get any promotion. They did put
didn't it come 2 weeks after, Survivor Series?
Yeah, and they did put Elimination Chamber on there, which is technically...
Extreme Chamber with weapons.
Technically a buy, right? Technically has meant, especially at that point, was good for buys.
Yes.
So they thought they were giving it something, but other than that, they didn't announce a single match.
Yeah, they did. They announced Eminem against the Hardys.
Yeah, like the 2 days before. Or 2 hours before or something.
No, those were the two. It was the Chamber and that tag match.
I think
match.
That was, okay, that was the last, announced like last week then.
No, there was a couple weeks of that. Those are the only two. Yeah, there was. It was on like a Raw, like,
okay, well,
not the Go Home Raw, the Raw before. But it wasn't a lot. And that, but that was
no,
it.
No, go back. You'll go back and watch it. When the Hardys come out.
Why would I do that?
When the Hardys come out, there's a surprise pop. Why? They didn't know they were coming. I guarantee you. I guarantee you. I don't believe they promoted that at all.
No, they
did.
Well,
if they did, it was so
short. No, it was those two.
But either way, it doesn't matter. The point is that they didn't give a shit, and they were trying to in some way ruin the product. Meanwhile, Vince McMahon, the booking was, CM Punk was the biggest star as far as being over with the crowd.
Right.
And they got him out of the Elimination Chamber right away to crown their new champion, the handpicked Bobby Lashley, who nobody in the crowd liked.
Black Lesnar.
Nobody gave a shit about. And this is another thing that just ruined the match and ruined the crowd and ruined the whole night. Plus, the show went off the air after like 2 hours and 15 minutes.
Oh, did it go that long? Yeah, it was brutally...
Yeah, it was extremely short.
No pun intended.
And Heyman pretty much quit at that night. And, of course, Vince McMahon thought it went really, really well. No, he did. He actually thought it went really, really well that night. He thought that this was perfect. This was just what he wanted. He got Lashley as champion.
This is
what he was looking for. He thought, and Heyman was like, no, man, this didn't go well. And then the feedback started to come in, the reviews and whatever, and Vince heard that people hated it.
Yes.
That surprised him, actually, because he was that far out of the bubble of what ECW was.
Right.
And that's another. So that's just giving you a little background of where Paul Heyman left. He was offered a chance to come into TNA. There was already Hogan a big
No, he wasn't club. Offered.
The negotiations were happening.
They were happening.
Negotiations is probably a better way. Negotiations were happening. He wanted to be able to cut ties with all the old guys and start fresh. They wouldn't give him that power. And he wanted a lot of money.
No. The bigger thing was he would come in for a salary. He'd get the full creative control, and he would. And it was a stock option ploy of taking TNA public and doing. And that was his grand vision plan, and that was the part that they wouldn't agree to. He had said that if you were over 40 years old, I'd cut your fucking legs off.
Yeah.
But that wasn't a major stickling point.
Bischoff and Hogan and such, they weren't exactly...
Oh, well, no. But
you know what I mean. You're right. There's all the stock options.
Of course, I'm right.
He was doing some blogging and that type of thing. Heyman Hustle for the internet television, writing movie, his own internet TV show,
right.
Writing movie scripts and that type of thing, and then he'd be, I believe something was off.
Great ratings for that.
So he, you know, he's been doing that. He did at one point have a plan or an attempt to buy Strikeforce because he thought that at one point several years ago they could compete with UFC if they were promoted and done right, and
mm-hmm.
that would have been interesting. Of course, that did not happen.
No,
but
I got it.
He did make an effort several years ago.
Yeah.
So this is kind of what Heyman's been up to after leaving. Plus, he's been with Brock in UFC, accompanying him, going to the show. It was not so much on camera, not mentioned, but he's been there with
him,
helping him. He wrote his book with him, and he's been helping Brock still sell his UFC matches, telling him what to say, helping him with his promo and stuff like that. So, I mean, legitimately great.
Well, nobody knows the Brock Lesnar character better than Paul Heyman.
And that's the thing. Paul Heyman gets it. Paul Heyman, they said, though, that one of his best friends is the Big Show. Big Show didn't even know he was going to be there that night. So this was really,
it was
really
only Punk.
Yeah.
It was only Punk. Vince showed Punk, because Punk tweeted a picture of him, like, seconds before he went out, apparently.
Yeah.
But Vince told Punk.
Which Vince wanted him to do because he thought that would create a ratings bump.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He gets it.
So that is Paul Heyman and kind of a quick history because people didn't know who he was, or more likely, didn't know where he's been.
Yeah, well, that's
so let's move on now to...
Moe's mom, right?
No, one of the most...
Oh.
He is...
That's where he's been.
He's very, as Vince McMahon described him, clever. Some people consider him a mad genius.
Clever.
Clever. He is very, very good booking mind. The most enjoyable that SmackDown has ever been, and when they were beating Raw in ratings, was when he had the book.
You know, the thing is he gets it.
Yeah.
And there's very few people that do. I would put Michael Hayes in the category of someone who gets it.
I don't think he does as good a job of doing what of highlighting the strengths and hiding the weaknesses of his talent that Heyman does. But I know what you're saying. He gets it.
Well, the difference though with Hayes is that he's got the Mark Henry. He's he's got a black mark against his record.
Plus, he's very old school.
But
Heyman's more cutting edge.
Well, Heyman's willing to, to change, right?
Yeah.
To be cutting edge.
But it has been a shame for several years that he hasn't been involved with pro wrestling. And even now that he's back as a performer on one specific role, and he's going to be awesome. But
until SummerSlam, as it stands right now.
There's
right.
a big buck there, right?
Can't tell me, though, that
like your mom.
You can't tell me that in New Jersey, New York, that Paulie don't want to be there.
Yeah, they're having they're running a Raw and MSG, I think, sometime soon, so.
No, I'm talking about Mania.
Oh, okay. Yeah, good point. Yeah.
You know, and
he will be there. He will be.
Yeah, well, yes, in some form.
I mean, if Brock leaves, he leaves, but there's nothing else happening with it. There's no... You know, I mean, we all want him. We all want to see what this guy could do.
Well, he's attached to Brock, and that's all there is.
Yeah.
And you're not going to bring him. I mean, Paul Heyman is not going to manage Lord Tenzai.
No.
I mean, even though he probably should.
He's not going to be involved in creative. He's not going to. And like I say, that's... You got to tamper your expectations here. Not going to be on TV constantly. But he is...
Well, he is going to be on TV constantly, just for the next few months.
For the next little while,
yeah.
Well, Brock's not... But, I mean, throughout the next... course of a calendar year or whatever.
I guess. At least until August. Who knows?
Who knows? It's possible, but I mean, I would tamper my expectations of, here's what you can expect. Expecting him, when he's on TV, doing this Brock Lesnar storyline, to be fantastic.
Yeah, I was going to say, it'll be good, right? So that's the thing. Is that
it was only a real good thing to me on Raw, pretty much.
See, the nice part in what I think as well is you're going to get with Heyman is that... he doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah.
So when he's going up against Hunter, right?
Yeah.
And Hunter becomes Huntor.
Uh-huh.
Because he likes to put that little, I'm going to bury a thing in here. He'll say something. I will go on record right now. The first or second confrontation with Hunter and Heyman. Bouncing checks is mentioned.
Yes.
And that's Hunter's kind of way of thinking, I can bully you and shut you up. Heyman doesn't give a fuck.
No, and that'll be a shoot inside reference.
No, but Heyman will just come back and just start burying and burying and make Triple H look like a moron.
Yeah.
Because he can.
He's that quick and that good a talker. Hunter's a good talker.
No,
he's
funny.
He's funny.
He's quick wit. Yeah,
he's a good talker.
Yes.
I think he was a great talker.
No,
he's a good talker.
Yeah,
Heyman's a great talker.
Yes.
And a quicker wit.
Yes,
and he doesn't want to play that
he
game.
Bury him.
Yeah,
but the thing is that when you say the game, exactly, he's not going to play quote unquote the game. In that, he'll just say, and he'll make Hunter look like an idiot.
Yeah,
and won't care. And then cause then they'll go backstage and say, you didn't do it, and then he's going to go, fuck you, I don't care. You want me to leave, I'll leave.
Yeah, that's
right?
True.
That's
but the thing. Other thing is, he's not going to start it like that himself.
No.
He's not going to, it's just if Hunter brings it up.
All business.
And tell the other guy, fuck with him.
But you back me, exactly. You
yeah.
fuck me, I'll fuck you. Right?
Yeah, exactly.
So.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm happy that he's there, because I do not expect it.
The show is better.
Terry Funk has been quoted as saying, that he thought ever since Lesnar came in, that Lesnar, or sorry, that Heyman's hands were all over the booking and style of the promos. Everything.
It was Mark Madden that said that.
Terry Funk.
Okay.
Yeah, it was Terry Funk. He might have said it through Mark Madden. Mark Madden might have reported he had a conversation with him, but it was Terry Funk.
Well, you can't say it around Mark Madden.
No?
He's fat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go. Was he the referee in the main event? No, he
no,
was
that was
there.
You. but, thing is, what I do know, and you were working again, and so you, because you was watching Raw on a delay, and so I,
yeah.
But you did said to me, like, you can just spoil it for anything on Raw.
I said to you, I have a real bad feeling this is going to be a really shit show.
I don't really
show.
Give a fuck, and it was outside of that.
It.
Yeah, it was outside of that, and then I said, guess who's back? And, you know, Lesnar's legal counsel.
you didn't even have to say who. I went, took me about a half second, I went, fucking Heyman? Like, we did not think he was coming in. So it was awesome. And like I said, for you, I know, like, you're watching it live. You see him come out there. You must have been like, holy shit. Like,
I was like,
oh,
fuck yes.
Yeah.
And there he struts down to the ring doing his Paul Heyman strut. And that's the thing. Like you said, now, at the very least, we know that everything, at least one segment of show, because there's probably be one segment of show that'll be devoted to Lesnar either through Heyman or through a video package, should be great.
Kind of like what we knew with The Rock leading into Mania.
Right.
They're going to get The Rock, no matter what they do with the rest of it, at least we're going to get that one bit that we knew entertained us every week. And that's what Heyman gives for me, and that's great. I mean, that's awesome.
Well, that's just it, right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean,
we want to talk about Cena's divorce because we're getting another call.
Oh, we get another call. Is this her?
Just quickly before I answer the phone here.
Okay, so we'll just little backstory as you let the phone ring. Yes, John Cena is.
I'm texting her back that I'll call her right.
Getting
right
a divorce. She's hired. She's hired Linda Hogan's lawyer.
His wife. Yes.
His wife is hired, Linda Hogan's lawyer, so, to defend her or whatever, and, I don't know, it's going to apparently get a drawn-out, nasty situation.
It appears to be a really nasty, she's not patient. We've been wanting to get the doctor of Thugonomics on for a while, and he keeps on putting it off, it seems like it's going to happen.
So
it will happen at some point.
So we called his ex-wife.
But, yeah, exactly, I put out a text to his ex-wife, because, I'm friends with all the people in the industry.
Of course.
She's coming back. And she's
first
right now.
First girl to do that
she's
since 1986.
Hello, Mrs. Cena.
Hello.
Hi, how are you doing?
Oh, fuck, you know.
Really?
I've been better.
So I guess this is a bit of a sensitive situation. What kind of led to this divorce? I guess you were surprised he filed for divorce against
I
you.
I was surprised. He's never home. You see, you can't see me. I could never see him.
No.
He's on the road. He's always out with those kids and on the wrestling. And I was thinking about contracting a deadly virus just so he could make my wish and I could spend some time with him. Is that funny?
I'm sorry. Poor taste, Mrs. Cena.
Well, it's true.
Oh,
did you see? I think, oh, it's WrestleMania. When? How do we go? He said, well, actually, honey, I'm going to take Betty Skoland to the Hall of Fame, so you don't need to. Who the fuck is Betty? Do you know Betty Skoland?
Yeah, she was a very famous figure in the New York area during the 70s. And what? Is that all right?
Is she fucking my husband?
She's like 100, lady.
He's got some weird fetishes.
So,
he couldn't I tell you, he couldn't rise above anything, though.
Are you making, I think you, this is getting nasty right now.
His thing, hustle, well, it was quick. Loyalty, respect, there's none here, sister.
Sister?
Sir, is this Mo?
Yeah.
Sister?
Sister?
don't you?
No, I really don't. I don't.
My life is falling apart.
I don't really think when people are getting divorced, it's funny. It's a shame. I understand you wanted to have some reconciliation with him, that he tried to offer you some sort of opportunity for something mutual a few months ago, and now you wanted to work things out, but now he's filed. So what's your next step?
Well, my next step, you know, I gotta tell you, Mike Tyson at the WWE Hall of Fame, because I watched it on TV.
Yeah, you weren't there.
I wasn't invited. Betty Skull and that hussy. And Mike Tyson said John Cena was black, and I am here to say that is definitely not the case.
What are you implying?
He has a small penis, Mo. Okay, that's funny. I gotta let you go, though.
Okay.
I have to meet with my lawyer. You have a good evening, guys.
Oh, well, thank you, Mrs. Cena.
Thank you.
It's funny how, that was really weird for me, is how Mrs. Cena sounds eerily similar to Socko.
Mr. Socko.
Well, you know what? We're trying to follow up and give you all the inside information on this Cena divorce.
Is it really, though, that surprising that Mr. Socko sounds like Mrs. Cocko?
No, not really.
No, there you are.
But we're trying to get you all the inside. We're going to have Cena's mom on later, too. She's going to really kind of...
What we did is, and we didn't even know this is before the divorce broke, is that you had contacted Cena's mom because, of course, today Mother's Day.
Yeah, exactly.
And we thought, you know, The Rock had talked about her, a song about her, and so we thought, you know, let's let her clear the air. And then this divorce happens. This is an all Cena guest show.
Yeah.
And, of course, Rick drunk dials us, but, you know.
So nevertheless, you know what, I will send her a text. She's up. She's always up late.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'll send her a text later, and we'll talk to her near the end of the show.
I've heard she's always down late, but okay.
I
did want to mention... one thing really quickly, too, is that with this whole thing, because we talked about Paul Heyman and we talked about, you know, now that's moved on to Hunter and such, but the fact that John Cena won that match isn't really mentioned.
What match?
Yeah, against Lesnar.
Oh,
the fact that he beat Lesnar.
That actually brings up one of my email questions.
You got an email? Okay.
So this brings up actually one of the email questions. This was sent to me from... Damien Sandplow. And he said...
Call Mr. Plow. That's the name. That name again is Mr. Plow.
He says, WWE had Lesnar lose to Cena and Cena lose to The Rock. If you were forced to pick Cena to win one of those matches, you cannot have him win both or lose both. He has to pick. You have to have him win one and lose one. Which would you have gone with? So basically, it's giving you the option to reverse it, and would that have been better?
So,
and I'm thinking about it.
Two trains leave the station at the same time, one going 60 miles an hour, the other 40 miles an hour. Is this your question?
Basically, if you...
I didn't understand a fucking word you just said.
Because you've been drinking.
No. Probably. But...
Okay,
so what you're saying is that, of course, yes, the facts are facts.
You have to pick Cena to win one and lose one.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, it's giving you the chance to reverse what the order they did, have them beat The Rock and lose to Lesnar.
Yeah. No, I think actually in hindsight,
if you had to,
I would do it the way it happened.
Yeah, that's really weird because everybody was sitting there going, "I would prefer to have had him lose twice."
Well, yeah.
Losing
streak
gimmick,
right?
Yeah, exactly. And you can build that into a storyline.
Yeah.
But according to how they did this, there's no way I haven't beat
Rock in Miami just doesn't make any sense.
You don't beat The Rock in Miami, especially if The Rock is coming back and going after that world title, right? Which is ET's, right? The Rock in Miami. But, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't have... So, if you're thinking this, yeah, I mean, it's really weird because I keep on going... That night it looked okay because they were building a storyline, but since they fucked that up with this, you know, bringing him back, I'm really pissed that he beat Lesnar, but yeah, absolutely.
But they haven't really mentioned it or made it a big deal,
you know what I mean?
And that's fine. It's like it just happened in hindsight, it's like it happened to soothe Vince McMahon's ego, and they've moved on.
Well, obviously Brock doesn't care if he wins or loses either.
Well, he's getting paid the same.
Yeah,
so who gives a fuck?
Yeah, exactly.
And that's probably Heyman.
Yeah.
Talking to him. Well, fuck yeah, just lose. Who gives a fuck?
Yeah, exactly.
But I will say that in terms of transitioning that into Laurinaitis and things, we should mention the change from last week, because we didn't mention that on Raw, that now the SmackDown title held by Sheamus, a four-way. Jericho and Randy Orton entered the mix.
Yeah, and the idea is, of course, is the typical, hey, we're all competing against each other, so even though we're a babyface and you're a babyface and you're a heel, we're still will attack each other.
Right. Well, and the Viper is that kind of babyface, though, right?
Okay,
I mean, that
that's
character
true.
Fits that, right? So, and the heels are selfish enough that, you know what I mean? Like, they do that. So, I like the fact, and you know what, we don't get a lot of four-way matches anymore, so it's at least unique enough that, I mean, unique.
No,
well, but
they're not doing an entire, when was it they did an entire pay-per-view of it?
Yeah, they called it like Fatal Four-Way or whatever.
How long ago was that?
That was a couple years ago, but maybe even last year, but
yeah, you know what, though? I mean, the thing is that I don't mind that. I'm looking at everybody attacking each other.
Yeah.
And in the old days, I don't care. Heels wouldn't have done that. Baby faces wouldn't have. It just takes me long for the old days a little bit. Like, you know.
I know what you mean, but I don't know.
It does.
That's
part of how wrestling's changed, and I can understand that. And it's more realistic that way. But just, it's kind of one of those nostalgia things where it's like, you know what, I kind of like that, the way
Yeah, but I don't have a problem with one match on the card being this way.
Yeah.
You know, and that's okay, that's fine. But, and it gets to, the thing is like, what matches, I mean, they don't have a lot. And we talk about Sacrifice, well, fuck, they have less on for the week later.
This match has to go, and another thing, good thing about this is a match which now I could go 30 to 40 minutes, whereas it seems like a 20-minute match.
Yeah, but you know what, that's cocksucking bullshit, because you just do Orton, and you do Del Rio one-on-one, and you do Orton and Jericho, number one contender at the next pay-per-view, you get extra, you get the same entrances,
sure,
you get
better,
a video package, that actually takes longer,
that's
so
true.
You know?
That's true, but I'm just saying, though, I mean, I think the thing about this is, it's funny, because Orton's back in the title picture now, and it doesn't feel to me long enough.
His front is in the title picture as well.
Yeah, all of Orton is in. He's back competing for the world championship again.
Close his front.
And you know what? His whole body is competing for the world championship.
Why are you looking at his whole body?
Well.
Sicko.
Sick. You sick fuck.
Sick.
You
freak.
Sick fuck. Fuck you, Richards! Fuck you, Richards! You fucker!
Fuck.
So, no, I mean, it's,
being his wife
it doesn't feel
crowd.
Long enough for me.
At ROH.
That he's been out of the world title. Like, I'm like, oh, Orton's getting another title.
Again, you say?
Yeah, like, I mean, it's been a while since he's competed now. Who was it? It was against Mark Henry. How many months ago did he get his last real shot, right?
Oh, God, that was October?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so. But on the other hand, I'm like, I just...
Because then it moved to the Big Show for those, when the ring collapsed and all that shit,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And Daniel Bryan, so yeah.
So that has been a long time, and yet I just am looking at it, and I'm just like, oh.
But it's the same when I tell you that it's been a long time that Orton and John Cena, right? And your natural reaction is to go, fuck no, never again, I will fucking kill you.
Yeah, exactly.
But it has been a long time since they've had a match against
for their, yeah, no, it has. It has to be, you know, and hopefully it'll never happen again.
Hopefully. It will, but.
But, yeah, I mean, that's kind of. But,
well, we watched the
do
Hollow.
Do you feel the same way? Is it just me feeling this way about Orton in it?
Yeah, you're fucked. No, I mean, to me, I don't mind Randy. I mean, you look at, I just kind of take it all as it comes, and Randy Orton is a top guy, should be in the title picture, because there's no, I don't see any benefit right now to him not being in it for this. Like, what else are they going
to
do?
Well, I mean,
fuck Kane?
I mean, because I don't think they're taking the belt off Sheamus anytime soon. I don't think they're going to have Sheamus against Orton.
Have Orton and Alberto Del Rio had a run? No.
I don't think so.
Okay, see, so you got something there. But I mean, I don't take it off Sheamus, right? But no, but you could. And
isn't Jericho there to take the pin?
Yeah, I would assume so.
They protect Orton, and they want to build ADR and Sheamus for a little more.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter if Jericho takes the pin.
He didn't care.
He doesn't care.
Yeah.
No.
So yeah, that's. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it is.
That's exactly it. It is what it is. It's nothing. You know.
It's one of those matches. You go, okay, it's gonna be 3 stars.
Yeah.
Doesn't sell the pay-per-view for me.
Could be 2.5, though. That's the thing. No, it definitely doesn't sell the pay-per-view to me. The only thing that's really selling this pay-per-view to me right now is Brian and Punk.
Absolutely. And that's often the job they're doing building it, because that's shit.
They did a little bit with the yes lock at the end, which I liked after that match. The thing was, I mean, on fucking Raw, all of a sudden it's like, it's going to be Tenzai against Punk, right?
That's where it was shit.
And then all of a sudden, it's like we come back from commercial and there's Daniel Bryan standing on the apron. I'm like, the fuck?
Oh, no, well, I think what happened was Michael Cole said, and this will now be a handicap match.
Yeah.
And then Laurinaitis comes out and says, so then I've just decided to make this a handicap match.
No, I don't think they even did that on TV.
Maybe not.
He just came back from commercial and Daniel Bryan was standing there.
I can't recall. I can't recall, to be honest with you. Because it mattered that much.
If I can be honest with you, because that's what this was. Well, here, I got it right here. Let me look. Let me see. Oh, Lauren Ennis announced it would be in the game immediately before. Okay, so he did do an announcement. I missed it then. I was PVR and I must have skipped that 30-second bit or whatever, right?
Yeah, I mean, and it was after Cole said this is going to be a... And then he comes out and I believe says that he just made the decision, so it continuity-wise, it doesn't match up, but
Not
as bad as Cody Rhodes and the table match and the...
thing is, that continuity, though, is so important.
It is. Yeah. It is, thanks, Gorilla. But, can we have him on the show?
We definitely should.
Yeah, the ghost of Gorilla Monsoon.
The ghost of Gorilla. Well, you know, I'm working actually on getting a psychic to come on the show.
Because there's a lot of people that we want to have on.
Gary Spivey on the psychic from the Psychic Companion Network.
Oh, wonderful.
Gary Spivey, Paul Orndorff hooked me up. And so I'm working on getting him on the show because then he can channel, is what he's been telling me in his tweets. We can channel. Through him, anybody we want. He's apparently very talented.
Awesome.
So,
there's a lot of people I'd love to talk to.
Oh, you kidding?
Absolutely. So, yeah, I mean, what were you saying? Oh, yeah, so this is, the thing is that you're right. The end of the match, what they did was okay for a build. I'm just saying that I'm not feeling the build for this match.
No.
It's the idea of these two ROH guys who I've been watching for so many years, who I know are good friends, who I know will have a great match.
Do they make better enemies?
Nash and Michaels did.
Yes.
But, yeah, I mean, that's the thing about it. It's nothing they're doing.
Good point.
It's the stuff that was built there that they have nothing to do with that makes me excited about the
match. Well, to me, it's just two good workers and the fact that there aren't very many matches announced. It makes me think they'll get half an hour, and then I'll enjoy it.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? So that's all it is. I mean, the way things stand now, we've got tag title match now. It's Dolph and Swagger against Truth and Kofi.
Yeah, you announced that on the website or something, right?
Something like that, yeah. We've got Beth and Layla.
Yeah.
And we've got the Punk, Brian, and the Four-Way. And then Cena and Laurinaitis.
It's not so much at the
five matches.
And most of those matches, I'm going, they'll probably be good matches.
No, what?
Most of those matches, I think, will be good. Most of those matches.
Okay, so let's just go. Let's go over this again.
Okay.
Laurinaitis and Cena.
No.
Layla and Beth.
I think it'll be pretty good. If you're to list the three best working females in the company, those are probably two of them. I think it'll be pretty good.
Okay.
I'm not saying it'll be over with the crowd, but I think it'll be a pretty good match.
Okay, well, that's your deal. And then, of course, the four-way.
Pretty good.
Yeah, a bit pretty good. And, what are we? Where else were we? Brian and Punk, of course, you know, will be really good. We should suspect it would be really good.
And the tag match should be pretty good.
I guess. I just, I don't know.
So, most of the matches would be pretty good, motherfucker.
Five? I would, to me, I'm going two out of those five. Sound pretty good to me.
Okay, which two?
Obviously, Punk and Brian.
Yeah.
And, I was going to say the tag match.
Yeah, and you don't think the four-way will be good? It'll be good. It'll be three stars.
Exactly. Well, that's not pretty good. That's good.
That's pretty good. Three and a half stars is good.
Good point.
Three stars is pretty good.
But, but nothing's really floating my boat on here outside of that one match,
right? No, that's
what I was
going to say. I think most of the matches will be pretty good, but the build to all the matches being less than good. The build to all the matches has me going, I'm not feeling it. And their ability to sell shows and make me want it on that go-home show is generally really poor. If I'm not feeling it 2-3 weeks out, and this only, of course, had a 3-week build, but if I'm not feeling it 2-3 weeks out, then I'm usually not going to be feeling it after the go-home show. It has to be something kind of giving me that momentum building towards the show, at least on something. And so even on the match that I want to see the most, I don't feel like momentum is building. I feel like it's the match itself, like I say, not something they've done. It's funny because, again, and as my favorite sentence, it's funny, but I see some sports and their hype show, 1 hour hype show, and I'm not just talking UFC. You can say the same thing for boxing. You can say the same thing on a pregame show for NFL football on a Sunday. They can do a 1 hour hype special go home show for an event and really sell it to me. And it's sad that the WWE with 4 hours in this last week, I'm looking at it going, they're probably not going to sell it for me any more than they have now. Maybe I'll be wrong. Maybe they'll come up with something. Maybe something tomorrow night when we get, now I've got to see this. But I don't have that feeling. I'm only slightly more excited for this than Sacrifice. When we were going through Sacrifice, we could barely list the fucking matches.
I'm sorry, what?
Well, you were in the bathroom.
Oh, no.
I'm talking loud.
I know.
That's
just it. Is there's the hype, the last minute hype, so you never know, but I doubt it the way things are going, essentially. I'm not going to have any, the Laurinaitis Tenzai Cena story is dead, right? I mean, there's no real recoup on that.
What do you think is about Tenzai that made him not work? Because we were hearing that he was in Japan and was a better worker than when he left, and we thought he would come in and be, hey, he's not a better worker. He doesn't feel like a better worker.
Well, that's just it.
What has failed about him?
The presentation.
Yeah?
Everything from, I said, the Quang entrance to the stupid mist on the hand to
The claw.
The fact that he hasn't killed anybody in his matches. He's done slow plotting.
That's the thing. A lot of it is the offense. It's not that the offense isn't powerful looking. It's that it's so slow and plodding and waiting for the next move that it just doesn't feel.
It's a power exhibition similar to the, like, an X Division high spots. These are power spots. That's what it seems like it is. And I mean, a lot of it is you know, you get like an Alex Riley, right?
Yeah.
In there, and again, you just need, if he had gone like a Brodus Clay type deal, or a Ryback type deal.
When Brodus Clay has a one-minute match against the right opponent, he looks like a killer. It's when he has to go 5 minutes that he doesn't.
Yes.
Tenzai, on the other hand, won't go 1 minute and kill somebody. He goes 5 minutes, and he also doesn't look like a killer, because it looks like it should have taken 1 minute.
Mm-hmm.
And that's I think that's the biggest reason why he's failed.
That's what I mean.
And
he should have gotten the Brodus.
I don't think you can repackage him. What they're doing with Ryback is not what they did with Lord Tenzai.
You could repack. The only way I could see him being.
Did I mention to you I was driving by a place that was called Tenzai's Tooth?
Yes, you did.
I should have gone inside and see if it was run by white people.
Yes, or if you asked for an Albert.
There you go.
But
I looked up what Tenzai means. It's like star or something like that.
Homosexual. Yeah. Oh, but. To get repackaged, he'd have to be under a mask.
Yeah.
That's it.
And I still think that's what he should come out on this one.
to begin with.
Yeah,
I think he would not have looked as...
The thing is, he has such a distinct look that...
Well, but the thing is, not so much.
Nobody knows, though. Nobody knows.
It had been many years. I mean, remember, people didn't know Paul Heyman either. It'd been many years.
Oh, exactly.
And he shaved up the hair, right? He shaved the hair that was in his on his body. So you put the mask on,
I see, yeah.
And I think it could have worked.
Mm-hmm.
Better. I still think, though, his offense at the end of the day...
Oh, God, no.
...would not have gotten him over.
I don't think anything... No. Mask or no. I think now, though, if he comes out in the mask...
And I'm not even looking at the offense and thinking, well, it's because he's wrestling the Japanese style. That doesn't even feel like a Japanese style. It's just slow.
Well, he doesn't attack anybody from behind.
Oh, yeah.
But, no, I just... It is. It was so just monotonous and boring. That's why he's not getting over. So, it is what it is, and he's not over, and the ship has sailed on Tenzai. I mean, it's done. There's not really any recoup on this. Try as they might, it's not going to happen.
Yeah. All right, what other the topics do you have?
All right, well, I was going to ask, we talked a few weeks back about the Marine 3 and Miz and the burial losing to Brodus Clay.
Quickly. Yeah, it's obvious. It's kind of like they had an idea for Miz at Mania. They built up a losing streak, then he won that match. And he came out next 2 weeks, I believe he won.
Yeah.
Impressively, so to speak, or at least as impressively as the Miz can look.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's kind of like they went, you know, he's still not getting over. Fuck it.
Yeah.
And it brings up 2 points to me. Number one, the Miz has never improved over the last... Most people, when they get to main event level and are forced to work longer matches against better workers, improve.
Right.
He hasn't. And that's... I don't know if that's his fault or their fault or what it is.
Can I ask, when you said that, though, you said they work longer matches,
mm-hmm.
right, against who?
Main event people.
Who are...
Randy Orton.
But are... Better what?
Better workers.
Right. So he made a better WrestleMania against John Cena, right?
That's true.
And then he feuded with A-Rai for a little while.
That's true.
You know?
This is where people, though, the say this about Cena.
Then he went in against Punk, right?
Cena's not a perfect worker. But because the agents work so carefully to construct his matches,
mm-hmm.
he usually has pretty good matches despite his
training
issues and that type of thing. I'm just saying, though, that the Miz has not shown any improvement. You know, forever.
Goldust
versus Dale. No, nothing dangerous. No, actually, dangerous stuff did happen. You're right, with Alex Riley. But so that's part of it. I mean, obviously, the fact that he has pulled away from people like Alex Riley and missed that dive by R-Truth and stuff. I think that hurts him. But at the end of the day, it's partially that he hasn't improved, but it's also another thing. They did build him up. They did give him the championship. They did give him the push.
Yeah.
And we did say he failed, but God damn it, they're too quick to jump, to pull away from these things. The fact is, if you invest that much television time in somebody, and you think there's a reason to make him a star, stick with it, because if you turn around and turn him into a jobber, next thing you know, then he'll always be that jobber. You gotta stick with it. Just because people didn't buy it, doesn't mean you go away from it. Sometimes, it just takes longer. And Triple H is an example of somebody who just took longer, right?
Why? What do you mean?
Well, when they first gave him a push, he didn't get over, really.
No, it's just something he said once.
Yeah.
No, but I know. But that's, again, there's that revisionist kind of history. And, you know, but really, the honest to God truth, and we watched, again, going back to that Hall of Fame that we watched today, Edge said it.
Yeah.
If you got it, that drive, that motivation, you'll be there. Right?
I have that drive. I have no question.
I do.
You know, he doesn't seem to have it the same way.
No, so he doesn't have it.
You're right.
CM Punk
did have it.
Has it.
Yeah.
Okay. I would even say that Zack Ryder has that.
Yeah.
Okay. Daniel Bryan has that. Right?
Miz did have it.
I don't think he did.
I think at one point...
I think Miz has it, like, if they did the same... You know what? I'll give you the exact same example, little different because of some of the things, but Miz has it like David Otunga has it. If they strapped the rocket to David Otunga, he would love it. And then as soon as they pulled it back, he'd be like, he'd feel
okay.
The same as Miz. But I'm just saying, that's,
right.
That's, you know what I mean? That's,
maybe you're right.
That's
possible.
The comparison that I would
possible.
Make. And, but the guys that wear the Hulk Hogan shirts or, you know, go and do these things and have all that.
Maybe if they gave him something interesting that he could get excited about, or maybe he's going to them with things and they're turning him down, and we don't know. Maybe that would make it a difference, too. Like, there's...
I know, Miz.
You don't know, man.
But no, that's again where you go to that sort of there's that echelon, there's that breakthrough, there's that drive there that will do it, and you got it, you don't got it, and as much as we
but
like,
I just think, like I say, if you have somebody and you've invested in them, then you can't what you're doing is you're ruining your own investment.
Well, yeah.
You're making it so that it never works. You did it with Jack Swagger. You're doing it currently with Mark Henry. If you've invested in somebody, stick with your investment. It may still fail, but at least, you know, if you're doing what you did with those three, guaranteed
yeah, but
it'll
fail. But then
there's no way it won't.
But there's just cutting. There's a cut in your losses factor there, too.
Not a year after your main eventing, less than a year after your main eventing against John Cena. No. It's too early. It's early.
Well... So what you're saying is that it can be salvaged at this point.
I still think Miz can be salvaged if you turn a babyface and have an interesting storyline.
I'm wondering,
point where it can't be salvaged.
Well, no,
I mean, Zack Swagger, I'm not sure he could be salvaged. He probably could only because he's legit wrestling background and legitimately could probably beat, I'd say if there's 100 people on the roster, he'd probably beat 98 or 99.
Well, you could also restart him
anymore.
He probably
is legit the toughest guy in the whole company, actually.
Yeah. Well, you could restart him in the tag division, though, right?
Yeah.
And then build him against Ziggler.
I'm having a sense that they're building that tag division. And part of it might be that they have this, you know, what's his name? Titus O'Neil, real deal Titus O'Neil, and Mr. No Nights Off. I can't remember. What's his name?
Black Cena.
As you go to let your dog out. What is it? Darren Young. I have a sense that this team is working and has good chemistry.
Oh, fuck, are they ever.
And that they're going to get over. They need exposure on Raw, but I have a sense that they're going to get over. So I get the feeling that maybe if they have a team that they feel like, hey, there's something here, they'll actually give a little bit. Maybe that's what they've been looking for a long time is, hey, there's nobody here that's going to get over anyway, so why the fuck should we bother?
Well, now
they're going to go, hey, you know what, maybe there's something here. Maybe we'll put a little attention towards it.
Well, I have five tag teams right now.
Yeah.
That with the
and by the way, I'm going to use this to use your blog that you wrote where you evaluated the new talent as debuted from WWE.
Right.
Really good blog on there. Recently on WeTalkWrestling.com. So.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. And that's the real deal title. They probably got my highest of all of them there because I just they've got. Just this charisma. I mean, Michael Cole on SmackDown said, finally, this show now has some charisma.
It's more like finally the tag team division has some charisma.
Well, yeah. And
they show more charisma than the current tag
team. But I'm looking now,
and
you've got them, and you've got Kofi and Truth. If they're going to stay the team, you got Swagger and Ziggler, who
you can
put them together. You've got Primo and Epico, who are already a team.
Usos.
You've got the Usos, who are already a team. And who am I missing? Am I missing anybody?
Probably somebody on Superstars or something.
Superstars. But, I mean, you've got, Hawkins and Rex do their thing, and you've got Camacho and, they said, and Hunico.
Yep.
Which are, you know, paired together at least, right?
Two teams working regularly with somebody.
Zeke?
Maybe.
It doesn't matter. But that's seven.
Team regularly with somebody.
Zack Ryder. But, I mean, but he's also the U.S. champ. But there's seven. Well, that's who they beat, actually. That's who Titus and
yeah.
And right. Young Beat were Santino and Ryder.
Yep.
Mm. But even there, that's seven teams.
Yeah.
Fuck, that's perfect. That's perfect, but I mean, that's a start.
It's a start.
And you peel off some of those teams because they're not, you know, together. But I mean, fuck, I mean, there you go. You got a division.
As many as you were often seeing the Attitude Era. Maybe more.
But he... about the same, I would
about
say.
The same, yeah.
I mean, because in the Attitude Era, you had your Edgy Christian, your Dudley, your Hardys, your APA, your Too Cool, your Midian and Visceras, right, when I start to sort of pull into that kind of thing. Your Holly
your
Cousins,
Holly. Yeah.
your Head Cheese, you know, your Godfather and D'Lo, like some of those, like the Midian Viscera Godfather.
Some of those you don't think of as a team, but they were around a little bit.
But they come in, and that's like a Hunico,
yeah.
and you know, so
yeah.
It's the same, but you just need to have guys now that you need names or gimmicks or associations. Like like Primo and Epico and Rosa.
We said it before. I mean, the two times WWE business was at its biggest boom,
mm-hmm.
period. In the 80s and in the 90s, both times they had a strong
tag team
division.
They had a strong tag team division.
And it's not a coincidence.
It is not a coincidence at all.
No.
It's a definite cause because it gives your mid-card.
And only one of those times did they have a strong mid-card from the Intercontinental title. And that was in the 80s. And they didn't even have that really in the 90s so much. The company was hot, you know.
The Godfather was the Intercontinental champ. Now, that had more to do with Russo than
yeah. But I'm just saying, though.
No, I know.
I think the tag team division is even more important.
Oh, yeah.
What else you got on your list of topics? You got another email question.
Oh, yeah, that's it. I'm done. I'm tapped.
You're tapped out?
So you ask your email question. Who's the
problem? This next question is from Nick. Oh, I can't say it. Look at that name.
What?
I can't say the name.
Don't say it.
Nicholas
Gears.
Nick? G-E-R-Z.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not saying that name.
Nick Segaris.
I told you not to say it. I'm not that... He thinks I'm that stupid to read the name out. I'm not that stupid. It's too bad his email...
You're stupider?
His email question is good.
Oh.
It's too bad.
What's his name?
Okay, it's Nick.
Nick.
It's from Hogan's son, Nick.
What's his full name?
I'm not saying it. Nice. It's from Damien Sandplow again.
Oh.
So anyways, Nick, send a question. With John Cena just having turned 36 years old.
Okay.
Are we not realizing that, how many more years does he have left?
Mm-hmm.
Hold on, read it. How many more years does he have left? Is he closer to the end than the beginning and we all haven't realized it? So I think he actually turned 35 just. I don't think it's 36. Either
35,
way.
I think, yeah.
35, yeah. But either way, his question. So basically, yeah, he's asking it.
Whose question?
How much? Nick's question. He's basically saying how much longer you like that name.
What name?
Yeah, you know, people think anything goes in this show. Even this show has some place we don't go.
Where?
Down there.
Down where? Darlem?
Does this guy remember Harlem Heat? So anyway.
Yes, yes.
G-E-R-Z.
No.
Clever, buddy.
Gewurz, right?
Gewurz, yes.
Nick Gewurz.
Nick Gewurz, yeah, maybe that's it. Hopefully that's what he
said. Oh, wait a minute. Sorry, the phone's ringing.
What?
Let me just have a call, because we just started talking about The Miz, and I think you're... It's funny you said Nick, because I think he may have been listening. I don't know how he's listening live here, but... we're talking about the, hi, caller, are you on there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, hey,
Nick, how you doing?
A bit better.
What's better, Nick?
The Marine 3.
Yeah, so we talked about the Marine 3 last week. It's, who's it?
Nick, no, it's not Nick.
No, but who's starring?
The Miz is, right?
The Miz
is starring in that, Nick.
How am I not in that movie?
You're in every movie.
But you're not in... How am I not in that movie? I don't know. I'm not an executive in WWE film.
I need to be in that movie. Nobody can be a Marine better than me.
Well, you're an excellent Ghost Rider.
Ghost Rider, Face Off. I got the forehead that they won't get me. I could be in that movie.
You'd make an act.
How am I not in that movie?
I don't know. We gotta let Nick. We got a show we gotta do here.
I'm not in the.
Guys had to let him go.
Thank God.
But, yeah.
So anyway,
you don't have to thank me.
Basically, what this guy's asking, if I'm getting it right, is
Is Cena too fucking old? And is
No. But how many more years? How many more years does he left? Yeah. We not realize it, that he's now 35.
Well, I've realized it.
How many? And he's been around a long time. He works in an unbelievable schedule. He still doesn't. He still looks as good as he. Like when some guys were 35, they look like they're having trouble physically keeping up the same physique. Hunter is a good example.
Yeah, Mom.
Hunter is a good example. I think he had about 35. He looked to me like he's having trouble.
I always think your mom is Hunter because of the mustache.
It tickles.
Yeah.
But,
and she makes me call her Lemmy. Anyway, I know.
Yeah.
The Ace of Spades.
Ace of Spades.
Yeah.
Ace of Spades. What is your favorite Motorhead song?
I think it would be the only card I need is the Ace of Spades. Actually, you know what actually my favorite Motorhead song is?
King of Kings?
The King of Kings, yes.
Awesome. I know. I got no voices in the sky, but King of Kings is excellent.
Yeah, but
anyway.
I know. What the hell were we talking about?
Yeah, so, I mean, how many more years does Cena have left? I mean, he is a generally avoided major surgery.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
well, he really has only had that one injury from
which
Ken
I
Kennedy,
still
which
was worked with the torn pec.
Mm-hmm.
I still believe that was a worked injury.
But, so he can spend time with his wife.
Yeah, his wife.
And by that I mean Betty Scolden.
Yes.
You know what? I would paraphrase. Yeah, his fucking entrance music.
The time is now?
Your time is up. Your time is the time is now.
Yeah.
You can't see me. I'd like to know how.
5 years from now, are we still going to have Cena?
Oh, of course. Seven. Yes!
15?
Okay. Let me paint you a picture. Well, I don't care. It doesn't matter, Booker. Let me paint you a picture.
Okay.
Do you not remember the summer of 2002?
No.
I know. A lot of drugs. The main event. I want to say.
Backlash. Backlash.
Or Judgment Day, or one of those bullshit made some odd pay-per-views, okay?
Yeah.
Was Hulk Hogan against The Undertaker.
Good point.
So, to say in 5 years we still have John, yes. 15, okay, you know what, maybe he runs down in his fucking jean shorts on Raw's 97th anniversary because it's the longest leaking episodic YouTube special of all time.
If he's wearing the baseball cap and the jean shorts at 40...
Yes.
Oh, Jesus.
Call me Adam. But I know what you mean, but it's going to happen. Well, no. Come on. He's 40, for fuck's sakes. He's going to wear camo shorts? Jesus Christ. I mean, come on. Give the guy some fucking credit here.
The Rock is 38. But, I mean, it's seeming to me like, I mean, Vince McMahon, you got to keep in mind, Vince McMahon thought a lot of guys are too old who had served him well, and pushed him to the side. I mean, we're not just talking about guys who are legitimately old, like Ric Flair. We're talking about guys like Randy Macho Man Savage and Bret Hart. You know, when they were, really, they actually legitimately did have some time left in them.
Pat Patterson. You're talking about guys that served him well.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. No, Bret Hart was different. Bret Hart was a financial situation. And Bret Hart... Bret Hart was not an age thing. No, it was not. Fuck off.
It absolutely did.
No, fuck off. It was a money thing, and it was a Shawn Michaels thing. I will grant you that Shawn was younger than Bret, so that's what he thought he was going with.
Yeah.
But... That wasn't the only factor.
It wasn't the only factor, but it was a factor.
It was only a factor because Shawn made it a factor.
Bret turned 40, and he kind of had... He's 40 now.
Mm-hmm.
He did.
Yes! And Shawn's... John just turned 35.
Yeah, and I'm saying when he's 40, will he start to... I don't think you're seeing a lot of guys wrestle regularly past 40 as much as you used to.
Well, you know what, but it's the same way you don't see... hockey players or football players. You know what I mean? Like the
Can John Cena be like a Triple H or a Undertaker and only
yeah.
do 5 to 7 matches a year and a few pay per views and a, you know I mean
you
I
know
mean,
what
yeah.
actually well
but
you know
they,
what
that
don't...
means they got that basically means they got to have 5 years to
hold
fucking
on.
Find that next guy.
Well, hold on.
Which doesn't seem
hold,
like
hold
close.
On, hold on though.
It's not going to be CM Punk because then you'll be 39.
Hold on. It's all I'm saying. Can John Cena be that guy? Yes. Well,
he's no way he's doing the schedule of 40.
I was going to say, no, but is he that big of a star? Yes. To do that? Can he? Will that mentality allow him? I don't know. Right? I don't know. Because, I mean, Arn Anderson.
I really
and it's Arn Anderson again. We're talking about the Hall. I watched the Hall of Fame. We watched the Hall of Fame. Arn Anderson. He's talking about the new guys. He's pointing out the CM Punks, the Chris Jerichos, and all that. And then he gets John Cena. Boo! Right?
Yeah.
And he goes, no. He goes, John Cena. And Arn Anderson put John Cena over where that whole crowd went from boo to everybody's cheering.
Yeah.
He says no to nobody. He says yes to every sick kid, and it's everybody, we're a family. Everybody in this arena is a family. It's all of our sick kids. He never says no to. He always has time. He's always there. He grants all the, he's always there. He spends half an hour, whatever time, spends it there. Fucking crowd goes nuts. That's John Cena. He said, even, I think Arn Anderson even said, John Cena is the nicest guy I know.
Yeah.
And that's the thing.
His wife doesn't think so.
Well, I don't know. We could get her back on the line. But the thing is that, you know, he might be the nicest guy. I know a lot of, I work with a really nice woman, a super nice woman.
Okay.
She's really nice. I look at her all the time and go, what the fuck are you doing? Like, she literally is at work until, like, she'll be at work until, like, 10 o'clock at night sometimes.
Yeah.
And it's like, if you directed this person to find that answer themselves versus you helping, which is wonderful, you could have saved yourself an hour and you could have then been your work at night. And then you do the next person. Maybe it's only 15 minutes each time, but you go from being there until 10 to now you're there at 7. Right?
Yeah.
It's still late, but when you come in at 8 in the morning, but it's not stupid, it's just overworked.
Yeah.
But that's the thing with Cena, though, is that when do you just... But how do you have enough? And John Cena seems to me... I said, you say what you will about the ring, the persona, everything. Fucking nice guy. I mean, Addy and Bizarro Land, right?
Yeah.
That's the case that I made.
Yeah.
John Cena, Make-A-Wish, seems like he wants to give back. Right? And you got to admire and respect
him. He's
for
also
that.
Reportedly, according to the divorce filings, worth $18 million.
Mm-hmm.
And likely going to lose a good portion of that.
Well, yeah.
And is going to want to keep working to recoup a large portion of that, I imagine. So there is that.
That's possible.
Yeah.
It's possible.
I'd say so. I just don't think, I mean, I go 5 years, yes. 7, maybe. 10, no.
Well, not regularly.
I mean, that's
well, you
did,
but your original question when I went
the
on that tangent was,
the
you said, are we going to see? No, you asked, are we going to see? And that's when I brought up the Hulk Hogan Undertaker.
I'd like to say,
that's what you
are
said.
We closer to the end than the beginning?
Of course we are.
Actual real,
of course we are.
You know, that's it. That means that they have X amount of years to get that next guy. That means that they have 5 to 7 years or whatever before he's no longer doing a full-time schedule
so.
To get that next
guy. I don't think that necessarily means that.
No?
No, because, it's, okay, but to me it's like, let's say that Bret Hart, right? Because
yeah.
we compare Bret, I compare John Cena to Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels a lot.
Yeah.
Because it's true.
Yeah.
That's why I do it, because I'm always right. But,
no.
There was no, we gotta get someone prepared to take over for Bret Hart. Well, there was, but Austin was the guy that took over. And Austin was the guy. Austin was the next Hogan, right?
No, wait a second. Hold
on. Oh, sorry.
Hold the fucking boat. there was, we got to get the next guy for the Hulk Hogan, he's getting too old. It'll be Ultimate Warrior. There was that.
Yeah,
it
okay,
was,
yes,
okay.
Yes, that's fine, that's
there
fine.
There was the Bret Hart, we got to get the next guy, it'll be Shawn Michaels.
Yes, and it wasn't, yes. So, yeah. But I, my point there, and that's fine, no, but I was kind of in a roundabout way, I'm just saying that Stone Cold Steve Austin was never touted as this is the guy until the shirt started selling and he kind of did something, right? So
okay, when I say get the guy ready, that's all right. Get the guy for the guy to emerge, maybe that's a better way to
okay,
put it.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And you know what I would, and right now, you know what I would say to that?
There's no fucking chance.
Well, you know what I say? I don't think the system they've got set up, but I think in terms of the talent they have, I think is there someone there that is ready to be that guy to emerge? You know what I'd say to that?
No.
Yes.
Okay. Who? Ryback?
Yes. 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 Yes.
Yes?
No.
Daniel Bryan.
But I mean...
Yeah.
The thing is,
Daniel Bryan, though, if he has Cena around filling that spot for the next 5 to 7 years, then it won't be his time.
The
timing has to be right here.
No, but we're talking about Daniel Bryan and not Betty Skolin.
That's true.
When you said Cena being around filling that spot.
That's
so.
True. That is a high five. Book it.
I just DDP'd myself and gave myself a self-high five. Self-high-five. Did you hear that Arthur was like...
A YouTube sensation?
Yeah. Something like 2 million views or something for Arthur.
Yeah, I heard. I didn't watch it. But I heard.
You heard, yeah. I just thought I'd mention
maybe
it.
Maybe it'll give us more hits on our DDP interview on
it
YouTube.
Could be I should type in Arthur.
You should.
I think it actually already is in there.
Yeah, there you go.
No, I tell you that I manipulated that thing to, I updated it to 2012, even though it happened in 2011, just to see if we get some more hits.
Well, our DDP interview on YouTube is fantastic.
It's actually, you know what, if you want to see it, just go to WeTalkWrestling.com.
Yeah, exactly. But it really is good, but we'll also put up it as an audio only, just like we will put up the Honky Tonk and Hacksaw from last
mm-hmm.
week. Those we'll put those up as audio only probably sometime in the next few weeks. But, okay, let's, do we want to call our next guest?
Well, I was going to say, yeah, I
went from Mrs. Cena, and we're going to go to Mrs. Cena.
Yes, Mrs. Cena Sr. Well, what I have to do is, I've texted her about 5 minutes ago to make sure that, she's by the phone when we call, because I don't know if you know this, but, she can barely walk. So... I had to make sure I give her a head start to get by the phone.
Hey, Cena's mom.
Can barely walk, yeah.
Can barely walk. A little bit older.
A little bit older. Yeah. But, I don't know. Is she in Cleveland? No. It's West Newbury, Massachusetts. Anyway, so let me just get on and just put it through here. And, all right. Do you have any questions? For specifically, or no?
You
I'm
know
just
what? Yeah, just about
up.
How Cena's handling all this.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. Yeah, no, I'm just picking and waiting for. Oh, hello?
Hello?
Oh, hello? Mrs. Cena?
That's right. How are you? Who's this?
Oh, sorry, it's Addy at We Talk Wrestling.
Wait, oh, hi, how are you? My son talks about you all the time.
Oh, good. Are you Dutch?
No.
Oh, okay.
I don't know an oven.
Oh, okay, good. No dykes. Okay. I just wanted to make sure, because you sounded...
Hold on one second. Shh. Quiet over there. Shh. Give me a couple minutes.
Sorry. I just... well, we were talking earlier, and we just want to know...
Sorry. What was that?
Oh, we wanted just to know your... it's Mother's Day, so we want to say Happy Mother's Day.
Oh, thank you so much.
Yes, Happy Mother's Day. With your son, Ben, are you okay?
No, I'm fine. I'm probably paying attention to you.
Okay. Oh. Okay. Okay.
What were you saying?
Well, your son's been... I'm sure he's talked about his divorce. Now, we've all seen it. And
you know, it's difficult. Oh, my God. Oh,
Oh, it's not. Oh, I smell what you're cooking up, right?
What?
Oh, my God.
Are you okay? Do you want us to call back?
I just
want to know about, okay, well, let's go. Next week, what are we getting? We're getting pretty close here. So Next show will be the 20th of May.
Yeah.
And that will, in fact, if not be on the day, but be very close to the one-year anniversary of the death of the Macho Man Randy Savage.
Yeah.
I'm wearing my Macho Man Randy Savage t-shirt right now. I'm staring at Macho Man Randy Savage picture on my wall. And so if you, the listeners, would like to email addie@wetalkwrestling.com your favorite Randy Savage memories, love to ram it with spend a whole time because we did this last
great
year.
Idea.
But
yeah.
But you know what? It's a year later, and you know, we just did one of the all-time greats. You know, one of the top five of all time. So
yeah, awesome. That's an awesome idea.
So if you just email me your thoughts of Macho Man Randy Savage, you know, we'll read them again on the air.
Addie@wetalkwrestling.com
And it's the other email there. The other one is
Mo at We Talk Podcast.
Yes.
Yes.
MO@wetalkpodcast.com
And we'll have another big announcement coming very soon, too.
Really?
Yeah.
My penis?
No, a big announcement.
Oh.
O-U-T.
So in the meantime, and in between time, that's it. Another edition of We Talk Wrestling. My penis is large. Good night, folks.